This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress joins us every Monday for a local politics and state politics discussion. Good afternoon, Bob. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. Great to join you.
How was your weekend?
Oh, it was beautiful. It was a gorgeous weekend.
It was. What did you do with your time?
Well, Sarah and I celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations. I didn't know that. Bob, that's terrific.
Yeah, it's really nice.
That is wonderful. Did y'all go out for a quiet dinner? Or?
Normally we do, but we had dinner in, so it was
wonderful.
It was very nice.
So the whole family sat around and celebrated the union.
And a couple of friends, yeah.
There you go. That sounds terrific. Congratulations to both you and Sarah. That's
Thank
wonderful.
You.
I spent my weekend, most of the weekend mulching, as a matter of fact, a little far cry different from...
I mowed the lawn.
Hey, there you go. It's that time of year, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Where should we start? We got a whole lot. Perhaps the best place to start is the big news peg for today is the fact that the governor had a major announcement this morning.
Well, he did, and this is something that they've been hinting at for the last week, that Governor Tim Kaine, with the assistance of the Attorney General, Bob McDonnell, would close a loophole Cho's name fell through, the shooter at Blacksburg at Virginia Tech a couple of weeks ago. The loophole was the disconnect between federal law and state law over who gets reported for instant records checks. Off of the 22 states, Virginia, of all 22 states that report people to the instant records check who are mentally ill, seriously mentally ill, Virginia has reported the most, a little over 80,000 individuals who are barred by instant records check from an automatic, otherwise easy purchase of a firearm. They can't buy a handgun without a records check. The instant records check has the FBI list. The FBI list did not include names like Cho's from Virginia because he had not been committed to an institution. He'd been committed for outpatient treatment, even though he'd been judged a danger to himself, an imminent threat or danger to himself and or others. So that loophole is now closed, and names like Cho's will be forwarded to the FBI for inclusion on the instant records check.
So if I hear you right, Virginia has been doing it much better than other states.
There are only 22 states that even participate. This instant records check thing is not what it ought to be. And Virginia has been a leader in the field. We were the first state to have an instant records check. And we've sent 80,500 names plus to the feds saying, don't let these guys buy a gun right off the bat if they come in for an instant check to purchase a handgun. So, you know, Virginia does catch some of them, but it obviously didn't catch Mr. Cho.
Yeah. It really interesting that Virginia has been doing so well with this program, and yet Cho still fell through the cracks. Somebody like Cho.
Well, mental illness is something that is very difficult for officials to deal with. You know, Virginia doesn't necessarily do a great job treating its mentally ill residents. And mentally ill residents have constitutional rights just like everybody else. And they're no more dangerous than anyone else. So, you know, we aren't picking on them. But there is a list that has to be, according to federal law, submitted. I don't know why the other states aren't doing it yet. I think it's an oversight that should be corrected. It looks like there's legislation passing through the Congress right now that will give money to states to update their records and send these records to the FBI, which maintains the database.
Wow. Now, is that legislation in Washington a result of Tech, or is it moving along quicker?
No, it's moving along more quickly now because of the Virginia Tech tragedy.
Yeah. We're talking with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, and phone lines are open, of course, at 977-1070. When do you think does this take effect immediately because it is an order?
Yes, I think every executive agency in Virginia today was ordered to start turning over the records of those, if they have them, and obviously not every agency is going to have them, but those agencies that deal with the records of people who've been adjudged to be mentally ill and a danger to themselves or others.
So it's not anybody that if you've received outpatient mental care, shouldn't be afraid to go see a psychiatrist.
No, and in fact, that would be an unfortunate, unintended result of this.
Right. So that is big news. And, of course, that'll be making all the big news tonight and the headlines tomorrow that the governor has made this executive order with advisement, of course, from the Attorney General, Bob McDonnell.
Of course, that doesn't stop all individuals from getting guns. There are other ways of buying and obtaining guns. But it would have made the way he got a gun or got two guns closed off.
Meaning
he couldn't go to a sporting goods store, as he did in Roanoke, and he couldn't order online and then pick up at a sporting goods store, as he did through the online purchase of his first weapon.
What about gun shows? Could he still have gone? Could anybody still go to a gun show and get around that instant record check?
I believe he could.
I'm scratching my head, Bob.
Well, you know, Virginia will be debating this in the next General Assembly.
I guess the gun advocates would say, well, that's the price you pay in a free society where we want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to get a gun. If they want one, you shouldn't have a lot of roadblocks, and that's the price you pay, is that, you know, dangerous, crazy people can get guns, and they're going to get them legally through any kind of loophole, or they're going to go out and find them illegally on the street.
Today's action was the first and easiest action that will result from Blacksburg. The other actions, when it comes to guns, won't be as easy.
And we'll certainly hear those discussions start to heat up as we move closer to the General Assembly session in January.
There are plenty of people who think handguns are way too readily accessible to anybody. And then there are other people who absolutely want to defend the Second Amendment right to buy and possess a firearm.
Bob Gibson writes for the Charlottesville Daily Progress and joins us every Monday to talk politics, public policy. What is the deal in the city? You wrote about this yesterday. What's in the Daily Progress?
Charlottesville is having its first election ever for the Thomas Jefferson Soil and Water Conservation District Board of Directors. And I'm not sure they're Sorensen graduates, but a couple of veteran and prominent environmentalists and activist Democrats in the city. Rich Collins, who once ran for the House of Delegates a couple of years ago in a primary against David Toscano, and John Conover, who's a former vice mayor of Charlottesville, will be and are serving, but they'll be up for election for the first time, as this is now. Charlottesville is joining Albemarle and Nelson and Fluvanna and Louisa on this board, which is charged, it's a state board charged with looking out for the soil and water resources of the region.
Interesting. I wonder if this has anything to do with the, does that board have anything to do with the expanding, water rates are supposed to go up, they're supposed to expand the reservoir?
I don't think it has much to do with water rates. I think it does have something to do with conservation easements. So if you want to protect rural land in Albemarle, this is the board that you want to have some input into that discussion.
Interesting. Let's see. If you'd like to join this conversation, the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Ben is on the line regarding the discussion we're having regarding gun shows. Hey, Ben, you're on with Bob Gibson. Go right ahead.
Yes, I wanted to respond to the gun show scenarios. I've never been to a gun show myself, but I know some friends that do some hunting on my property that have very extensive collection of guns, and I think they've actually told me that they have state police representatives at the gun shows that they've been to that do the checks, that help in regard to the checks.
Ben, do you know if that happens at all gun shows or just...
I didn't ask that question, but he says everyone that he had been to, they do, and I think I've heard somewhere that that is a law in regard to handguns and maybe other guns too. I'm just not a gun enthusiast myself. But I'm pretty sure that these gun shows have to have some way of checking, and I think the state police are the one avenue is having a representative there to do the check.
Well, then they will have a longer list of names on the instant records check once the people added today get added to that list.
Yeah, that's a good thing, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think everybody would agree with that. The lieutenant governor, the attorney general, and the governor all put out statements today saying that this was a very common sense response to the disconnect between federal law and state law that allowed Cho and others to slip through the cracks.
Yeah.
Ben, thank you so much for the call. Yeah. I think folks, right, left, up, or down, I think I would like to believe that we could all agree that we want to make sure that somebody who might be a serious danger to your neighbors isn't somebody who can get a gun.
Someone who's been adjudged to be a danger to himself, an imminent danger or threat to himself or others, certainly shouldn't be able to walk into a store and pick up a firearm.
Phone lines are open, 977-1070. Gary's on the line. Gary, you're on with Bob Gibson. Go right ahead.
Thanks, Coy. Sorry to switch off the gun topic, but I wanted to ask Bob what he thinks about the clerk of circuit court race. It seems like candidates are coming out of the woodwork from everywhere. Wondered if this is because this is a high-paying job or...
It's a very high-paying job, you know it.
Yeah, or if this is just political parties wanting to have their person in any office they can get their person on. It seems to me that as a voter, I want somebody that knows how to run that office to the benefit of the people that use that office. I don't care whether they're from the Greens Party or Republican, Democrat, or whatever, and I'll just hang up and listen to your comments.
Gary, thanks so much for the call.
Gary asked a good question. There are qualifications that candidates should have, and it's good to see candidates coming out to run for clerk of court. It's the only elected constitutional office that has an 8-year term. And they keep the records in the city circuit, in the county, in this case, county circuit courthouse. And there are a lot of public records to be kept, having to do with deeds, land transfers, all sorts of criminal and civil records. So it's a very important position in terms of maintaining the orderliness and getting online the information that should be online in Virginia. You know, the city's been a little slow in doing that, but I think the next clerk of court in Albemarle, succeeding Shelby Marshall, who has been in that job for a long while, is going to be someone who is going to have to be qualified to you know, handle all the records and serve the judges in that court.
How much does it pay if it pays so well? Is that a six-figure job?
It's a six-figure job, yeah.
Wow, good for them. Betty's on the line. Betty, hey, how you doing? Thanks for the call. You're on with Bob Gibson.
Good, thanks. Bob, I'm wondering if you could say a little bit more about this Water and Soil Board. Is that the board that would decide where our future water supply would come from? I'm particularly interested in how the decision to use the Ragged Mountain Natural Area was, you know, determined, and I wonder if that board would have had something to do with that.
I don't think so. These boards were founded by the state back in the 1930s, and they were done initially with the idea that they would prevent the kind of runoff that farmers using poor farming methods were having pollute through sedimentation and other runoff area streams. They have grown from that into a much more comprehensive conservation board, but I don't think they set policy on where we get our water. I think they try to protect the quality of the soil and the water.
Could you also make one comment? I know they're going to talk about the sewer issue, but in the paper today, there were astounding numbers on the cost to city and county water and sewer users on the increases for these various facilities we're going to need. Isn't that cost really cost of future development, and wouldn't the present residents be bearing the brunt of future development, really? And couldn't we deal with that better with impact fees on developers that will be bringing these large developments such as Albemarle Place and Biscuit Run?
The city and counties that have development have never had full authority to get all the impact fees they feel they might need to offset the impacts of some of these developments. And there are going to be some large developments that we're seeing them already in Albemarle. And they're going to have great costs associated with them when it comes to providing new sewer and wastewater facilities. There's no doubt. And unfortunately, the impact fees are not paid by the new development. They are those tend to be proffers that go right now to, you know, some road improvements, perhaps some set aside for land for schools, parks, that sort of thing. But no, we don't see the new development paying for itself.
Well, can we turn down then some of these big improvements? Is that something that the city council or the board of supervisors has the authority to do and say, you know, we have adequate facilities right now. This improvement is really just to facilitate this, like, for instance, Albemarle Place.
Well, yes and no. I mean, in some cases they can. They do have the discretion to turn down what is not by right development. But there are many landowners and people who are interested in developing their land who have the right to put all sorts of units on their land, regardless. You know, they just have to go through a process, and the board has to give them what they, by right, can build. What they generally do is they try to make a deal with the county whereby they offer certain things to the county, and the county says, well, yeah, we'll approve this zoning change for you if you provide this, that, and the other. But they can't bargain that way. The county is not given the authority to demand a list of things from the developer. They sort of have to come through a much more circuitous process to an agreement on what sort of improvements the developer is willing to pay for, and then the county, usually at some less than by right number of units they can put up, will say, okay, we'll approve your rezoning.
Betty, thank you so much for the call. And of course, you can't get a proffer from a by right development. If a developer has a by right development, they go ahead and do it.
Well, you know, unfortunately, there is a lot of development that goes on that the county has less than real authority over how it happens.
Let's try to squeeze in one more call. Fred's on the line regarding the discussion about guns. Fred, you're on with Bob Gibson. Go right ahead.
Yes, the myth about the loopholes at gun shows is strange, because every purchase made at a gun show from a dealer is run through the instant background check, and the only exception is a individual sale from one individual to another, which is the same as getting something from your neighbor at a yard sale or from a relative.
So if it's a real small, if it's a real small thing, you perhaps wouldn't have an instant records check, but any large show where a number of dealers were dealing, they would have an instant records check.
Almost all of the people at the shows are dealers. So almost every sale has a background check.
Interesting. Well, I never knew that.
That's encouraging. Yeah. And then this is giving them a better list to check against.
Oh, they have the same instant background check that you get when you go to a gun store or something.
Well, that's what I mean. Today's action by the governor and the attorney general, basically, the executive order that Kane issued, will give them a better list to check against in Virginia.
Fred, thanks so much for the call. Bob Gibson, thank you very much for joining us. Again, another half hour has flown by.
It has.
And 75% of the things we were going to get to today,
There's
always next week. Bob Gibson joins us every Monday, and you can read his work, of course, in the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Thank you, Bob, and happy anniversary.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.